letting me share the morning with you, and just, he didn't ask me to say this, but I would say to you, I think you're wonderfully blessed to have Reed here as your pastor, so amen to that. Well done to you, First Baptist Church, for having him here as your pastor. Greetings from the Baptist General Convention of Texas. I'm a native Texan. I grew up in West Texas. If you are familiar with West Texas, La Mesa, Texas is where I'm from. There's not really any reason for you to know where that is, actually, now that I think about it. My wife, who's here with me today, and my daughter, Kathleen and Rebecca, we love coming to Santa Fe, but this is the first time we've been able to be here in church with you. Because of my position with the convention, I preach in a different church, normally somewhere in Texas every Sunday, but to be able to kind of be out here today and to spend the weekend in Santa Fe and to be at church with you is indeed a blessing. Your state executive director, Dr. Joe Bunce, is a friend of mine, and I told him that I was going to be here today, and so I commend him and the New Mexico Baptist Convention to you. And on behalf of all of us, let me thank you as a church for your support of the cooperative program, that missions and ministry enterprise that benefits so much here in New Mexico and Texas and around the world. So thank you for your continued support, and keep that up. Well, back in 1994, a guy named Stephen Covey wrote a book entitled Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And it was a good book, very popular. And it was a book about helping us identify priorities in life and how to go about making sure those priorities stayed as priorities. Well, a couple of years later, he wrote another book entitled First Things First. And so what I'm going to do today is borrow the title of his second book to kind of lay the foundation for what I'm going to talk about in these next few minutes. First things first, but I'm going to use a verse that Matthew recorded about Jesus from his Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks to us about priorities. And so if you have your Bible today, would you take it and open it with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 33. I probably need to go ahead and say to you, as you find Matthew 6:33, I'm also a lifelong Baptist. And so I have sat where you have sat many times, about to hear someone preach that you've never heard before. And so I really do know what you're all thinking at this point. Everybody here is wondering how long I'm going to take. So let's just get it out of the way first. Brevity is one of my spiritual gifts. And so with that, Matthew 6:33, follow with me if you would. And this is Jesus, and he says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Well, what does it mean to seek? To seek means to search. It means to look for. But if you understand the word seek, it really means that you're searching and you're looking for with some significant intent, that there is a genuine effort into the search. It could even indicate a level of intensity in the search. So Jesus says, with intention, with effort, with a level of intensity, let it be your priority to seek first. So first, above other pursuits, seek first the things of God. So what I want to do in these next few minutes is talk on a very practical basis about what that could and maybe should mean for you and for me as believers in and followers of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, in a practical level, on a practical basis, what does that mean? Well, so I think it means that the first person of significance and the first person of importance in my life and in your life as a fellow believer has to be the person Jesus Christ. So John, the writer of the Gospel of John, identifies for us a little bit about why Jesus is to be that person of great significance and greatest importance. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, when he says he gave his only son, that means he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, because of that gift. And later in John, he says, no one comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus Christ, the only Son of God and the only way to salvation because of who he is, because of what he's done, and because of what he will do, he will come again and receive all of us unto himself for all eternity because of who Jesus is. He deserves that place of first importance in our lives. Years ago, I read a story. It's about an old preacher. And now, what I'm going to tell you is an experience many of us have had. It was an old preacher, and he had one of those coats that had like 10, 12, 15 buttons on it. The old-timey coat, buttons all the way down. And there were two little boys in the church. And they were walking by the preacher, and they walked past him. And when they got past him, one of them said to the other, "Did you see the preacher's coat?" And the other one said, "What?" And he said, "Well, he missed the top button. And it's wrong all the way down." Now, have you ever missed the top button and it's wrong all the way down? So I say that to tell you, if we miss this about Jesus, it's going to be out of place in every aspect of our life all the way down. If I could be so bold, everything else is going to be kind of wrong all the way down. So Jesus Christ, because of who he is and because of what he has done, he deserves that place of greatest significance and greatest importance in our lives. Now, I'm not trying to diminish any of the other relationships that we have. Today's Father's Day. I have talked to my father this morning. He's 86, lives in Norman, Oklahoma. I've talked to my son this morning. I have my wife and my daughter with me today. So there are people in our lives who are wonderfully important to us. You know, Kathleen and I this morning, we were able to FaceTime on our phone our two little granddaughters. So there are people in our lives of wonderful significance. People we love, people we embrace, people we would give everything up for. So that reminds me of Jesus and him being the one who gave everything up for you and me. And so Jesus Christ, if we're going to just understand what it means to seek first the kingdom of God, he's that person of greatest importance. Yes, there are other people of significance in our lives, family, friends, co-workers, classmates, and on the list goes, but no one deserves that place of priority more than this person, Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God on a practical level? Well, I think secondly, it could certainly mean that the Bible is that book of greatest importance in our lives. It's the first book for you and for me. Now, the Bible, it's as unique a book as you will ever find. 66 books within a book. 40 authors. 3 languages. Covering centuries in its writing, in its making. But the Bible is described like no other book anywhere else that's ever been written. Only the Bible, only God's Word carries with it this description: God breathed. There is not another book that's ever been written anywhere at any time in the course of history, nor will there ever be another book written anywhere in the course of our coming history that can be described with the phrase, God breathed. Because only this book is God breathed. Does it deserve that place of greatest importance in our lives? Now, I understand you all had vacation Bible school a couple of weeks ago. Now, my father was my pastor growing up. So I spent all of my, I've been in church my whole life. So by the way, I'm not complaining about that. But I have been in church from the beginning. And so I've been to Bible school many times growing up. I was a pastor for 24 years before God took my ministry in a couple of different directions, and now for the past 7 years in this role as executive director of the Baptist General Convention of Texas. So when I was a pastor, Bible school was important. Vacation Bible school was important to us. And I took it upon myself to kind of help lead the pledges. You know, the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. And I don't know if they still even do that anymore because I've kind of been out of the Bible school loop a little bit. But, the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag, Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag, and the Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light in my path, and I will hide its words in my heart that I may not sin against God. So, but that's the VBS pledge, by the way. So, the Bible is that book of greatest importance for you and for me. A number of years ago, I was a pastor, and I know exactly when it was, and it dawned on me that I had never read the Bible all the way through from Genesis to Maps. And so I decided that would be something I needed to do. I didn't really know how to go about doing it, but it was about the time they'd come out with those one-year Bibles, if you're familiar with those. So I went and bought a one-year Bible, and if you have one of the one-year Bibles, if you know about them, if you don't, I would recommend one to you. If every day, if you'll read you'll read that daily assignment, it's a part of the Old Testament, it's a part of the New Testament, it's a part of the Psalms, and it's a part of the Proverbs. And by the time you get around, you've read the Bible all the way through. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You've picked up on that already. We'll not go into any details about that. So I went and bought this, and I just didn't think that I could start on November the 14th, and it would take me around to November the 13th. So I waited until January the 1st. But on January the 1st of 1990, I began to read the Bible all the way through, and I'm now on year 29 of reading the Bible all the way through. My biggest regret that I didn't start 29 years before that. I'm simply saying to you, this book you hold in your hands or that's on your phone, there can't be another book of greater importance in our lives than this one. A lot of good books out there that provide great motivation, that provide inspiration, that provide information, that provide help and guidance. There's a lot of great books out there. But the book that we must look to first for motivation, for inspiration, for guidance, not only individually, but as a collectively as a church, this is our guide for faith and practice. So when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, on a very practical, life-living basis, Jesus is the person of greatest importance. The Bible is the book of greatest importance. The Lord's Day is the most important day of the week. You know, when God's always had a special day for his people. You go back to the creation account. God created, 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 rested on the Sabbath. So that process, that day set aside from the very beginning, was that day to be observed from the very beginning until the resurrection. And if you remember, Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. And if you remember, the early disciples began to gather together on the first day of the week. And so there was that transition from Sabbath to the first day of the week, which means today, this Lord's Day, this Sunday, this first day of the week, is the day of greatest importance for us in our week. Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. Now, I'm not a world traveler at all. I've been around a little bit, but not like a lot of people. But have you ever been out of the United States on one of our unique national holidays? For example, have you ever been out of the country at Thanksgiving? Well, I have never been out of the country at Thanksgiving. They don't show the Cowboys football game anywhere else, and so I'm here. All that to say, I have talked to people who've been out of the country at Thanksgiving, and it means nothing. Other places in the world, Thanksgiving, they miss it. Have you ever been out of the country on the 4th of July? Now, I have been out of the country on the 4th of July. It's a strange experience because life goes on just like normal. They are working. There's no understanding. There's no recognition of what that day means to us. But have you ever been out of the country on Sunday and gathered with other believers on the Lord's Day somewhere else in the world? That's a good day. Because of whatever their language, whatever their custom, whatever their style, they are worshiping the same Jesus we are worshiping. They are giving recognition to the same book we give recognition to, and they are observing the same day we are observing because it's the most important day of the week for those of us who are believers in and followers of Jesus Christ. So today, this day, now I'm not going to say tomorrow's not an important day. I got things to do tomorrow. You've got things to do tomorrow. And Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. One of our employees at the Baptist General Convention of Texas is a guy named Bob Billups, and he directs our Baptist Way Press. We have it's a publishing arm of our convention, and we publish Bible study materials. And so, before he came to work for us, he was a minister of education in some churches around Texas and been a friend for a while. But every Saturday night on Facebook, he puts the same statement. He'll write and he'll say the same thing every Saturday night. He says, looking forward to Sunday, absolutely the greatest day of the week. You know, wouldn't it be amazing if all of God's people had that mindset when it came to the Lord's Day? That this day when we set aside to worship together with other believers, to study together with other believers, to pray together with other believers, to fellowship together with other believers, to serve together with other believers, that other men and women, boys and girls, students who share the same kind of convictions, the same kind of heart that we share, that we are gathering together with them on one day of the week to worship that person of greatest importance, using the book of greatest importance on the day, the most important day of the week. So on a practical level, what does it mean when Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God? Jesus, the Bible, the Lord's Day, the church. I would submit to you that to seek first the kingdom of God, that the institution of greatest importance in your life has to be the church. Just has to be the church. It was Jesus who said, I will build my church, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus will build his church. The church is the only organization, the church, is the only institution that the Son of God said, I will build. This is mine. The church. A while back, Kathleen and I were eating in this little barbecue restaurant not far from where we live in East Dallas. And so we were there were only the two of them. It was like one room, two rooms, I guess, but this one main dining room. And so we were the two of us were in there and one other person. And so we were eating barbecue. And I travel all over the state of Texas. And so I'm a kind of a barbecue person. So I keep a magazine with me, the Texas Monthly, that has the top 50 barbecue places in Texas. So I'm grading that out as I go. But so we're in this little barbecue place, and this man, he finishes and kind of cleans up his, and then he starts getting some things out that were over against the wall that we hadn't noticed. He pulls out a table, and he pulls out a podium, and he pulls out a little microphone, and he pulls out a little stand with a bunch of names on it and badges on it, and so we were about to be in the middle of the Fair Park Rotary Club meeting. Now, I'm okay with that because I used to be a Rotarian back when I was a pastor, and I even could remember the four-way test. I could stand up there and do that. Rotary does a lot of great things. A lot of service organizations do a lot of great things. I think polio has been eradicated from the world primarily because of the work of the Rotarians. They do a good work. John mentioned, I'm a Baylor graduate. So is Kathleen, so is Rebecca, so is my father, my brother, my other brother, Kathleen's sister-in-law, her husband, our daughter-in-law. It's what we do. So I don't have a long winning tradition in my history. So I love Baylor. It's part of who I am, really. But neither Baylor, nor the Rotary Club, nor any other university, nor any other institution will ever be more important in my life than the church. And I hope and pray that is the same for you. And I'm not diminishing any of the good things those institutions or those organizations do. I'm just simply saying only the church was established by and guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I will build my church, he said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the only guarantee for any institution on the face of the earth. The church. Could I say this church? A place of great importance for you, a great importance for this community, of great importance for this state and beyond. What does it mean when Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God? Jesus is the person of greatest importance. The Bible is the book of greatest significance. The Lord's Day is that day of the week that is above all the others. And the church is the primary institution and organization we would know anything about. Now, if I was your pastor, I would also say that the first money is the tithe. But I'm not your pastor, so I won't mention it. All that to say, you go back to Jesus and his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is identifying for his followers, you know, the very basic, elementary, primary rules of living the Christian life as a follower of Jesus, one of the things he says is, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these other things about which we worry and about which we are anxious, all these other things will be added and given unto you. First Baptist Church Santa Fe, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of the day, the opportunity to be together, the chance to be in your house on your day with your people, studying your word and acknowledging Jesus Christ as our Savior. Father, we thank you for this day and this opportunity. I pray for this church I thank you for the pastor. I thank you for John. I thank you for the leadership. Bless this church. Heavenly Father, we come now to a time of invitation, and we just pause and say, God, if there's a response that you need from us, just speak to our hearts and guide us and direct us and show us what that response should be and give us the courage to be obedient to that voice as you speak. So, Father, we love you. We give this time of invitation to you. We do that in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could have your attention just for another real quick minute. If you're here this morning and you've never acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Savior,